Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for those who have made the long trek and journey from your dens and your dining rooms to the lights and the heat and the sanctuary. Yeah, it's great to be here. It's a little surreal having spent the better part of 15 years doing this pretty much every Sunday, and then going through a period of time of preaching to empty chairs, and then, Doug and I and Bob have been preaching to a stuffed gorilla for the last little bit, named Charles. Thanks to the youth department for loaning Charles out to us regularly. And now today with you folks who have come, and of course you folks who are out there in internet world, thank you so much for joining us, and we want you to know that we long to be with you, we miss you, and for those of you who are joining us from across Canada and actually other parts of the world, a great and wonderful greeting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings on you as you engage with us through the Spirit of Christ. Well, Natasha Bedingfield is a British singer and songwriter who wrote a song about horses, and I just want to read a little bit of the first verse and chorus of her song, Wild Horses. You can look it up on YouTube. I would try to sing it, but she does a much better job than I could ever attempt or accomplish. She says, she sings, I feel these four walls closing in. Face up against the glass, I'm looking out. Is this my life? I'm wondering. It happens so fast. How do I turn this thing around? Is this the bed I choose to make? It's greener pastures I'm thinking about. Wide open spaces far away. All I want is the wind in my hair to face the fear but not feel scared. Oh, wild horses, I want to be like you. Throwing caution to the wind, I'll run free too. Wish I could recklessly love like I'm longing to. I want to run with wild horses. Run with wild horses. This has a bit of a ring to it, and I've really appreciated listening to her sing through her desire to be free, her desire to have life the way that she would desire it to be and passionately longs for it to be. You know, for Jeremiah, it must have seemed like the four walls around him were indeed closing in. God, this is not how it's supposed to play out. Hello? God? Are you not going to do something? God, can't you see? God, don't you see what's going on? The very people that you have placed here, God, they're ruining everything. God, don't you see? They're getting away with it too. You see, just a little brief history. We see that Josiah, King Josiah of the kingdom of Judah, just a short time ago, Judah had seemed to be in an all-out revival. We read that they tear their clothes and they pray and they repent in sackcloth and ashes. As the book of Deuteronomy, sections of the book of Deuteronomy are discovered, the Pentateuch is rediscovered, and they read it and they cry out to the Lord. And the people came back to God. They had a real change of heart and mind. They had repented, and that's what repentance means. It means to change your mind or change your direction. They had repented from their sinful ways. They had come back to God, and they had experienced a modicum of peace and prosperity under Josiah's under his rule and reign. Well, truth be told, however, was that the nation was seeing a deterioration even before Josiah's death in the Valley of Megiddo. Even though Josiah was warned not to go, he went anyways and was struck down by an arrow from the enemy army, Pharaoh Necho of Egypt. Well, this descended the nation of Judah, the kingdom of God, into a tailspin of sinful proportions, with first the 3-month reign of King Jehoahaz, who was, to put it bluntly, as the Bible refers to him, wholly evil. How would you like that as the write-up of your reign? Wholly evil, according to Scripture, and ultimately ended in his capture and imprisonment because he upset Egypt so greatly. Jehoiakim, Josiah's son, is then appointed king by Egypt and is basically controlled by the Pharaoh. But all during this time, there's another situation at play. And Egypt is defeated by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, who make Jehoiakim a vassal king of this whole territory. Well, this doesn't go so well for Jehoiakim as he rebels against Babylon after about 3 years. Chapter 12 of Jeremiah falls immediately within these troubled times. The last days of Josiah, the 3 months of Jehoahaz, and the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim. Dark and troublesome days, to say the least. Jeremiah must have wondered where this was all going to end. For him, it's not just the fact that his country and its people are headed into disaster. Because if we're actually to read in chapter 11, it's his own people from his own hometown that at the same time as the nation is deteriorating and crumbling, his very relatives, his neighbors, his people are plotting against him. In chapter 11, we can actually read about the plot to rid themselves of this troublesome prophet. You see, simply put, Jeremiah, he's bad for business. Anathoth, his hometown, had great success in the business of idol making, idol worship, becoming the market leader in the production, manufacturing, and marketing of idols for all religious purposes. His words of God would be bad for business. Not only that, he was making the people depressed and he was downright making them feel guilty. They didn't like that he pointed out their hypocrisy and for speaking truth to power. So they plotted to kill him. So here we are. Here's Jeremiah. He's just come through a very personal event. Do you think it would sting that your friends and neighbors from the town you grew up wanted nothing more than to just get rid of you? Do you think it would sting to know that the very words that God has given to you, being a prophet, a mouthpiece of God, literally saying the things that God wants to declare to his people, and knowing that these things are going to be bitter, knowing that these things are going to be hard, knowing that these words are going to be unwanted. And so here we are, Jeremiah 12, and Jeremiah has a little conversation with God. Well, Jeremiah begins with a question of clarification. He says, God, you always do what's right, right? God, because I know you're righteous, help me to understand why this is happening, God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever gotten to a point in your life where it doesn't even really matter what is going on, you want to know why it's going on? I'm sure my parents wondered that a time or two in my life. Stephen, it doesn't even really matter what you did, why did you do it? Help me to understand why this is happening, God. You know, we often start with comments, questions, statements like this to God. We might actually refer to them as accusations. God, this isn't fair. We might even get to the point of believing that we're asking that question in regards to the well-being of someone else. Truth be told, if I really search my heart and my mind, the truth is most of the time those questions arise out of circumstances that are happening to me. God, this isn't fair. God, you let me down. Or God, you failed me. Have you ever had this thought permeate from your heart and mind when something didn't go the way you thought it might? You know, this still stings even today. I wish it didn't. I really, really wish it didn't. But this still stings even today. Being left off of the school hockey team for the annual invitational tournament. See, the school that I did my graduate studies once a year they'd have an invitational tournament, and this particular year, the powers that be and the organizing committee, they left me off the team. It was a bitter pill to swallow. Truth be told, there were plenty of great players to choose from, and I was by far not the generational talent that I probably considered myself to be at that point in my life. But it still hurt. It felt incredibly unfair. Wait a second. God, this is not how it's supposed to go. I'm supposed to be in the starting lineup, with my name on the back of the jersey, playing with my friends and representing the school that I loved. This is not how it played out in my mind whatsoever. What am I going to tell my girlfriend? This stinks. Well, truth be told, sometimes it was more about who your friends were and who you cozied up to with on the planning committee than at what level of talent you possessed, but I digress. Can you tell it still stings a little bit? Well, a few days before the deadline to enter a team into the tournament, so it was an invitational tournament, I get a call from a friend who had decided that he'd been thinking about it and it was last minute, but he'd like to try to cobble a team together and put a team into the tournament, and he asked if I were busy that weekend. Let me check my schedule. No, I'm pretty sure I can rearrange my incredibly busy schedule to just be able to fit in the tournament. Well, Jeremiah has a few choice ideas that he would like to see happen to the people who are clearly wicked and yet are continuing to prosper. He says, God, you are on their lips, but you're far, far from their hearts. Destroy them, God. Punish them. Make it right, God. Can't you see that this is entirely unfair? Drag them off like sheep to be butchered, God. Set them apart to be slaughtered. Lord, because the wicked are running things, even the land they possess is in ruin and it lays desolate. Tell us how you really feel, Jeremiah. Can a hockey player step onto the ice and have some of these emotions at play within them? Absolutely. Because I did. Now, I need to state in no uncertain terms, nobody died at the tournament. In the end, we all had fun. The locker rooms smelled terrible. And I couldn't have played another minute. And at least at that point, I was done with hockey. But we had fun. My friend, Glenn, who had called me, he ended up being named the tournament MVP. And we won the tournament. And we played the team that left me off their roster in the final game. The sting and feeling of being treated unfairly was still there, but in the end, everything turned out well. Certainly not the way I would have pictured it or planned it out. Now, I want you to notice a couple things here in our passage. Notice here that God does not explain his actions to Jeremiah. God doesn't need to explain his actions to Jeremiah. There's a reason why God does not explain his actions to Jeremiah. Because he's God. Here are the words of Isaiah the prophet. These came to mind when I was reading through Jeremiah's conversation with God. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Simply put, we just don't have the ability to fathom what God is up to pretty much all the time. And we don't need to know, because he's God. And again in Job chapter 40, verse 2, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. God does not owe us any explanations either. My brain and my heart long to know the whys to the questions of this life and this world. But it seems that when I ask, God usually answers with, you're just going to have to wait. One of my favorite musicians of all time, Stephen Curtis Chapman, he and his wife got to a point in their life where his success and influence as a musician had afforded them the luxury and the ability, along with her writing, to be able to go overseas and to be able to start an addition to their family. And they adopted two special needs little girls from overseas. And in a very tragic event when they were very little, one of the twins, one of their sons, backed over her and killed her. It was just an accident. Something that no one had ever expected or thought would or could ever occur. And devastated them. And in the midst of that, Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote one of the most powerful and influential albums that he has ever written in his entire life. And one of the songs is just simply called "We Just Have to Wait." He says, as much as they reach out and cry out to God for understanding, God says, it's going to be okay. Trust me, it is going to be okay. You just need to wait. And sometimes that's what we need to do. For the most part, the whys of God's plan will remain unanswered and unexplained. But I want to understand the mind of God, and God, well, he just wants me to trust him. God wants me to believe him in his word. And I want reasons. And God says, well, but I desire faith. Now, years ago, I grew up on a little hobby farm. It's where my mom and dad raised the three kids. My brother Daryl, the oldest, my sister Lisa, the middle child, and me, Stephen, the baby. And on this little hobby farm, primarily my dad raised horses. I have wonderful memories of our time there. You know, I love horses. I adore horses. They are beautifully majestic. They are powerful and loaded with personality. Well, on one fine Saturday, my dad saddled up and went for a ride by himself out in the woods on his chestnut beauty named Apollo. Loving the day and his surroundings, my dad decided to get off the main path, as a wood road that we had many times often had ridden and camped out on. My dad decided to get off the main path as he had discovered some alternate paths that some deer or other wild animals had made. And there was just a roughness and a beauty to it as it made its way through the trees and the undergrowth. And so there's my dad going off with Apollo into the woods, enjoying the day and the beautiful vistas around. My father lost track of time, and as a few minutes turned into a couple of hours, my father lost track of something else, his direction and his whereabouts. Deciding that it was time to return home, my father was faced with the stark truth that he actually didn't know which way was home. He didn't know which way to go. He was lost. Try as he might, he couldn't remember where he had gone to successfully retrace his steps back home. And that's when he remembered something. He had remembered his own father talking about how incredibly precise a horse could remember its way. See, a horse can remember where it has gone and can retrace its steps quite easily. And so letting go of the reins, my dad simply said to Apollo, "Let's go home, boy." And of course, Apollo did not take a direct route. He meandered here and he meandered there. He stopped frequently to smell, and his ears would perk up in the sounds, unfamiliar sounds in the woods. And he would stop and he would munch on the various outcroppings of grass as they went along. For my dad's part, he just had to stay on the horse. Apollo eventually made his way right back to the spot where they had entered the woods, on that wood road that they had been traveling on. You see, I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this, we're all facing adversity. Whether it's the pandemic, whether it's vocational, whether it's a crisis of health, Maybe the seclusion and isolation has got you battling your mind. And there's a war raging within and you're waging it. Maybe it's a relationship breakdown. God wants you to trust Him. He knows what He is doing. If you don't trust Him with this today, how will you fare when something even bigger comes? To put it in the words of God, if men tire you out, what will you do when the horses arrive? If you trip in a flat field, what will you do in the freshet on the edge of the Jordan? You can trust Him with everything that's going on within you. You can trust Him with everything that's going on around you. You can trust Him. He will see you through. Sometimes, you just have to let go of the reins. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see that Your way is perfect, that Your timing is perfect. Lord, that Your providence, Your protection, Your provision, they are perfect. Lord, we trust You. We want to trust You. Lord, reveal to us the ways in which we can trust You. Lord, watch over us, guide us, and direct us. Lord, we let go of the reins. Lead us. Our hope is in You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.